Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. Shea Dixon is here with me, coming off a busy weekend in Baton Rouge. Not only camps Thursday and Friday, and then the official visitors in town. So we've got a lot to get to on this podcast. Heavy recruiting on this Monday edition. And we're going to jump right in with recapping the official visit weekend for LSU and two Florida prospects that LSU is in good shape for out of the five that visited. Let's lead off with DeMario Tolan, Shea Dixon. It's the Orlando Dr. Phillips four-star linebacker, LSU, Clemson, kind of battling it out there, Miami in the mix. They're supposed to host him this weekend. There's no crystal ball prediction yet in his recruitment, but something kind of tells me that that might end up changing.
Yeah, and I mean, how many times have we talked about him being a guy that Blake Baker has been super high on? I mean, you look at wanting this linebacker board to be filled out at some point. You know, where would it go? They don't have any current commitments at linebacker. They've now changed D coordinator and linebackers coach this offseason. And we continue to say on the board on Go 24/7 that, look, wait until summer camp hits. We saw a lot of guys come in. We'll talk about a few of them on this show, but I think Tolan's up there as high as anyone on their wish list. And look, you look at him, he's a four-star. He's ranked kind of right in that 100 to 200 range in some spots outside the 200, but it's continued to creep up. I think you'll see his ranking improve more and more. And for me, and I think you agree, Billy, it looks like an LSU-Miami battle. As you mentioned, Miami visit is this weekend. And after that, maybe we hear something. We haven't put in our crystal ball picks yet, but I think you and I both feel like unless Miami really blows it out of the park this coming weekend, that LSU could be inching closer to popping a guy that they really want in this class.
And kudos to Blake Baker. He identified him early on. He identified him while he was at Miami and recruited him there as well. So he's got a really good relationship with him. And you know, Tennessee hosted him for an official visit early on in the month. Auburn, Florida State. I mean, there's been a lot of different programs kind of in the mix. He's actually on an unofficial visit on Monday to USF to see the Bulls and check out that program. But, you know, I think with LSU, they just made a really big move for him. And it seems like from all that we've gathered, they've really done a good job recruiting him. And the same can be said for another Florida prospect that was on campus, Niceville's Azariah Thomas. A defensive back, corner, safety, plays on the offensive side as an athlete on the 24/7 sports rankings. But Andrew Ivins, who did his scouting report, compares him to Trayvon Diggs, former Alabama cornerback. And really, I think that's a good comp for him. Once he gets into a college weight room, he's going to be able to put on some serious mass. He's got broad shoulders. And the thing about it is Corey Raymond really did a great job on this recruitment. I talked with Azariah about his official visit to LSU. And if you haven't read that, check it out on go247.com for sure, because he gave some really good stuff on Corey Raymond and just how he prioritized him and wanted to develop him and really made him and his mom feel at home. Georgia Tech is also in the mix for Azariah Thomas. That's where his brother plays as well as a defensive back. But again, another prospect without a crystal ball pick in. He's on the edge of being a top 100 prospect overall on both 24/7 sports and the 24/7 sports composite. This is trending pretty well for LSU right now ahead of an official visit to Oklahoma.
Yeah, and I mean, he gave you some good quotes. Like you said, check out that article on Go 24/7. He reviews the whole trip. I thought one thing that was interesting, Billy, was these Florida kids, they didn't all come in with a trainer or a coach. They all came in with their family. There were five of them total. And both Thomas and Tolan were guys who brought their folks with them. And you mentioned Corey Raymond being so involved all weekend. We saw Elias Ricks and Derek Stingley hang back in town. and spend time with Azariah Thomas over the weekend. And again, this is a lot like Tolan. We knew that camp season, or at least the month of June, which would also be official visits, would clear up some, not confusion, but at least the outlook moving forward on some of these positions. We just talked about linebacker. Now let's talk about cornerback. They had early a handful of guys in, really all of them committed in January, three guys. Well, now we've seen Marcus Scott after coming to camp. The two sides sort of say, hey, we're going to separate, move apart. Marcus Scott ends up committing to Missouri. You're down to LaTerrence Welsh and Jadarian Rhyme, two guys you felt good about and you've evaled and you really like them. Where does the corner room go from there? I think we've seen now with Thomas coming in, them being able to see him in person, everything checked out. And as you mentioned, the amount of time the staff and the players put in, it's clear that he's a top target for them. And we'll talk about a few other guys here that were in town over the weekend from Florida on official visits. But Billy, me and you are in lockstep here. We think they leave the weekend in the best spot for the two guys we led off with here, and DeMario Tolan at linebacker, and then Azariah Thomas, who's ranked as an athlete, but as a guy at cornerback who they really like.
And not to bury, a five-star prospect here, but as we move into that next wave or that next tier of prospects that was on campus for LSU, but maybe not in as good of a spot for, five-star safety Kamari Wilson, the IMG Academy standout. He was there. He had a really good visit. From what we heard from sources, LSU did a great job, really gave him, honestly, some things to think about. The overwhelming, I would say, buzz still is that Georgia is going to be tough to beat out here for Kamari Wilson. But I think you got to give Durante Jones a lot of credit for the way he's recruited him. Blake Baker's been involved with that one as well. Corey Raymond. Even Jacoby Matthews was FaceTiming Kamari Wilson while on his Texas A&M official visit, which we can kind of talk about a little bit later on. But for the most part, this was a good visit for Kamari Wilson. Still, though, it seems like the Dogs are going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, I mean, and look, crazier things have happened. And look, LSU's gone up against Georgia before and battled them and gotten guys. So the DBU press being the number one safety being a need, all of that makes sense. We are just acknowledging, we're not blowing smoke here, the reality that the crystal ball picks, which all of them are on Georgia, from Rusty at the Georgia site to guys like Steve Wilfong, there's a reason for it. I'm with you that good to get them on campus. We'll see where it goes, but as not to get the listeners' hopes up, we still think Georgia would be the team to beat.
And then we move to another defensive back, and one that, again, kind of built in that Azariah Thomas mold, Chris Graves. He's headed to he's got the crystal ball right now, is on Miami for him, and he's got another official visit to round out the month, South Carolina. Miami hosted him that very first weekend, and they lead in the crystal ball. Again, he had some good things to say about LSU, but even when I asked him, which schools is he talking with the most, and not that he was ranking him, but the first school he said was Miami. So it seems like Miami's in a good spot for Chris Graves as well. And then the kind of the wild card one where if you look at his offer list and you kind of look at where he's officially visited, you would say, okay, well, maybe LSU's got a better shot than they might think here. And that's Nijalik Kelly, who is really a highly recruited prospect. It seems like he would be one out of the Fort Lauderdale area to really, really blow up in the rankings as his senior season unfolds. And it would make sense. I mean, 13 sacks in six games last year in 2020, so almost two sacks or over two sacks a game. And so he's got that frame that you can really build on. But he's been a Florida State commitment before. He's checked out Indiana. He's supposed to go to Oregon this coming weekend for an official visit. And then he's got a Florida State official visit set for September 5th. And then, by the way, he's got Georgia, Clemson, Georgia Tech, unofficial visits this week as well. So a packed month of June for Nijalik Kelly. But it feels like the Seminoles are in a pretty good spot here for him. And we'll continue to monitor him as well. And Andre Carter has really done a nice job recruiting him, Shay.
Yeah, it's the same thing of get a big guy like that into campus. Get him in when some other Florida guys are there who you come away just wanting to make some headway with at least a couple of these guys. And really, let's be real, Kamari Wilson's been up there on their board. as a top player, top safety for good reason. He's a five-star, but they really wanted to make some headway with Tolan and Thomas. It seems they did that. It's not a big surprise to say, hey, to see or think that moving out of the weekend with a guy like him, that now, look, as you noted, you've been committed to Florida State before. You're going there for the Notre Dame game on your official visit to open the season. You've got a relationship with that staff, and things that certainly could continue to trend that way. It won't be a surprise, but at least LSU's got the official visit in. And guys like this, you just now say, okay, let's see if they come back for an unofficial in the fall. If they want to come back closer to signing day, that's when you see if they've got the real interest that sort of carries over beyond a summer official visit.
And one name that is making his way back for a visit is Trevante Citizen, the lone official visitor that we've confirmed right now for the coming weekend. And he's going to get a chance to get all the attention in the world from the coaching staff. And they're going to be able to listen to the pitch and take everything in. It's very rare that LSU brings in a Louisiana prospect for an official visit over the summer. Shea, they opt to do it with Trevante Citizen here. You know, he's checked out some other programs, USC, Texas, I believe have hosted him for official visits. Auburn hosted him as well. And this is one where, and Texas A&M has hosted him as well. USC actually didn't end up getting him on campus for an official, but LSU needed to kind of take a big swing here and get him on campus. And it shows the priority that he is now, and they're going to be able to give him all the attention, and hopefully it pays off for them.
Yeah, and look, the running back board, or at least let's say a commitment to come at running back, which is key in this class, I don't think will come anytime soon, unless Citizen's popping this weekend, which I'm not sure that happens. So, and I think that's a little bit by design, because now you can figure out after this weekend, how interested is Citizen? Did you make up all the ground in certain spots that you really wanted to, because he's a national recruit? Look, he's visited Texas and A&M and Auburn, all these schools officially this month. He's a top running back in your state. He is a top running back in your state. The other one being Le'Veon Moss, who committed to Bama. Does he end up looking around at any point in the game again? And then they've had other running backs in already on official visits that they felt like they've made some headway with. They're evaluing guys locally still. So in the view of Kevin Falk, I think that they'll probably move into the fall saying, or at least having a much better grip on, hey, here is the exact order of guys we want. Here's where we stand. And we saw Kevin Falk already close Corey Kiner in Ohio, and then at the end close Armani Goodwin. So I'm not too overly concerned about any timetable working with Kevin Falk's running back targets and commitments, because just with 1 year on the trail, he proved without even being able to go face-to-face with kids in a dead period that lasted the whole cycle, that he could get the job done, and including a late flip of a guy like Armani Goodwin from Auburn and LSU's class. So whether it's Citizen or a Moss flip or someone else coming into the fold as a second running back, or however this might unfold, I've got some faith in Kevin Falk, just because in the little sample size that we've got of him recruiting, he's proven to done really well with it. And his approach is one that seems to sit well with running backs in terms of not feeling overly pressured to go ahead and get things done.
And I think this is the right move, just from a standpoint of, you know, you look at what Trevante Citizen did in limited carries, 9 yards a carry, was a star on the other side of the ball. I think he's better than his recruiting ranking, you know, at least for us, you know, just quite honestly. And I could see him moving up a little bit. He's 139 overall on the composite, 201 for us nationally here at 24/7 Sports. I've got my crystal ball pick in for LSU to land him. And I think as LSU continues to kind of circle those Louisiana prospects that they're really high on and want to go after and go and get, they've shown over the last couple cycles that most likely they're going to get. So with Trevante Citizen officially visiting, it shows how big of a priority is, and that they're swinging for the fences to get him on board and in the class really this summer, and get him you know, into the mix, and just another piece for Walker Howard and that LSU 2022 recruiting class's offensive commits to get on board. And so, like I said, it's a huge weekend for LSU to really make some waves in that recruitment, and we'll be tracking it all on go247.com. As we get ready to continue to track kind of the camp fallout on Go 24/7. We wanted to share some final thoughts with you guys on the last round of camps, some buzz out there on whether it be the camp circuit nationally or in-state evals. We've got plenty to talk about on that front on the other side of this break from the Go 24/7 podcast. So stick with us and we'll be right back.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. A quick reminder, guys, to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and follow the Go 24/7 podcast wherever you check out your podcast at. Also, feel free to check out our subscription as well for the VIP tidbits on official visitors and the board and who's trending on the crystal ball. It's a good time to do that, as a lot of these prospects will start to make decisions as the summer rolls along, at least in 2022. So, Shay, let's kind of go in the 2023 direction here with some quarterback talk. And we've seen kind of a busy little run here of quarterback, you know, news. Arch Manning has been making visits. He took an LSU unofficial visit. He's been to Clemson. He's been to Bama. He's been all over. Eli Holstein, who's a Zachary quarterback now, is trending on the crystal ball for Texas A&M. Ricky Collins, a Baton Rouge area prospect, picked up an offer this month at camp. We also saw a lot of out-of-state kids come in camp in the 2023 class at quarterback at camp. And there was some good. There was some, you know, guys that probably didn't shine the way the staff wanted them to. But overall, I mean, they got some big names on campus and a successful little run there for the offensive staff.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was overall a good look, when you reflect back on a whole month of what they've done with camps and then having to get guys in different stretches, that it's all worked out for them by and large. And I think it brings us to one point, because everyone loves to talk about quarterbacks, and we can obviously start there. Walker Howard, and he was hanging around again this past camp. We saw him this past weekend, Billy. He's locked in, and we heard it again from sources over the weekend. They're not even entertaining 2022 recruiting anymore. It is for quarterbacks. It's Walker Howard, and he's in the boat. And you obviously have Brennan and Max Johnson and Nussmeier on campus. There, a lot of people are high on Nussmeier coming up in the program. So you're sitting in a spot where quarterback recruiting has gone super well for you. And that's not always been the case. So you're already excited about that. You look ahead to 2023. You had Arch Manning on campus already this past week. You had Ricky Collins in twice, Woodlawn's quarterback for 2023. He ends up getting an offer. And then you had a bunch of out-of-state guys. I mean, we could run down a whole list, but a large number of the guys that they had already offered came in, including guys like Cameron Edge up from Dematha, where they've signed Greg Penn, the quarterback there. He came down this past weekend and threw, and was definitely the best quarterback you and I saw, Billy, when we were out there on Thursday and Friday at LSU Elite Camp. So they've handed out a bunch of offers over the past year. They've gotten all these guys to campus. And sort of curiously, the one name we didn't see swing through was Eli Holstein, Zachary's quarterback, who they did offer when Steve Ensminger was on staff. I know that guys like George Munoz, who sort of run quarterback recruiting by and large, as guys like Jake Pizza focus on being the OC and everything that comes with it, And when Munoz was working to get quarterbacks in, we saw how many came in. And we know he's been in touch with Holstein, and Holstein made stops at Bama and A&M and Ohio State and all these other places. And look, he lives right down the road. You've got to get out and see those places. It's your first shot, too. I get that. But it's also, I think the feeling is growing, Billy, that Holstein's looking outside the state. We saw that he just landed a crystal ball prediction for Texas A&M. Could they be the team that emerges for him? But as we move forward into 2023 recruiting, knowing that Walker Howard's in the boat for this class, and we can go ahead and open the book on the discussion for next year, we'll talk about guys like all of them. But I would say if you're talking about the in-state guys at this point, Holstein, and I know, look, I won't even go into Arch Manning and make any case for if I think he's going to LSU or not. He's at least visited this month, and he did so with his family and his buddies and all of that. So there's some interest there. I like Ricky Collins a good bit, and they seem to like some of these out-of-state guys. I just don't think, if I'm people in Louisiana, I'm getting my hopes up that Holstein ends up going to LSU and being the guy behind Walker Howard in the 23 class.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I've seen Eli Holstein. I've talked with him a couple of times. You know, I think it's one where it can be both. I don't necessarily think he's scared off by Walker Howard. I mean, you know, there are guys that go, you know, play at different schools every year with highly touted prospects here and there. And now they've got the unique bond of, you know, of being at STM and then Eli Holstein transferring out so that he can get onto the field as a starter early on. But yeah, it just seemed like for whatever reason, there wasn't really that bond with LSU on the Eli Holstein front. And even with, you know, the offensive staff change. So I think that one is one that we'll, you know, be tracking for sure, because maybe he changes his tune if he sees, you know, LSU's offense this fall and he wants to stay in Baton Rouge. Maybe he starts showing more interest. But for now, I mean, it seems like they're on Arch Manning really, really hard. I think Ricky Collins is the one that, as of now, I would probably, you know, if I was doing a way, way, way early 2023 class, I would probably pencil him in as your quarterback commit and really not think anything of it, because he had a really good season for Woodlawn in a shortened season and was able to, you know, produce. And then he was really strong at camp. So I think LSU is going to be able to find a 2023 quarterback that fits into the system well and will eventually battle the likes of Walker Howard, Garrett Nussmeier, and those guys down the line for the starting job. And you mentioned Nussmeier as a name that is catching a lot of, you know, attention. He was watching these quarterbacks that were on campus like a hawk, especially on that Thursday in the morning and in the afternoon when he was working camp. He was really high on a couple of the young quarterbacks throwing the ball around, Davey Belford and Hassan Longstreet. Both of those guys were really good as 2025 guys. Yes, 2025. And you can just tell Garrett's really locked into, I think, just – playing the position and knowing where to go with the ball. I mean, he was kind of calling things out for those quarterbacks in 7-on-7 before they could even see him. So the quarterback position for LSU is in a good spot. And we mentioned earlier that DeMario Tolan is one that LSU is in a good spot for. Sean Murphy, another top 100 prospect, LSU is in a good spot for. But let's talk about Harold Perkins, the 2022 five-star, stopping into campus for an unofficial visit into camp. That was really big to see. You know, coming off some official visits for him, LSU hasn't used their official visit with him, which is good for them. They can save it for later. It seems like he just continues to show the right amount of interest in LSU.
It does. And look, he's a five-star. He's the guy that sits top so many wish lists. And it's tough to say, like, okay, boil it down to just a few things, but I'll try to here. I think that it shows sincere interest that in the span of what was really 14, 16 days, he was on campus three times in the month of June. And we know he's got some New Orleans connections, but he was coming into Louisiana to visit with LSU staff. And I thought most telling was that, and I guess I'm in the recruiting mind frame, so if this doesn't make total sense to the listeners, that's fine, but you can kind of get a drift of where I'm going. Often kids will come in, and there were camps that first weekend, and Billy, I'm a five-star, I'm coming in, I'll work out, and then after that, you know, in the morning session, then I'll be done, and we'll hang out a bit. And if I come back to campus later that month, it'll just be to hang around, and I might swing through for an afternoon. He did a full-on visit to start the month. did it again after that, then came back and said, I just want to camp, and worked out through the morning session, got a little banged up, dislocated his finger, nothing major, but that kind of cut short what would have been a full day of camp, you know, being out there with Blake Baker and the rest of the staff, but was able to hang out after that. And I just think that even coming back for camp the third time and wanting to just say, hey, I'll suit up, that's what guys over time who commit have real interest. That's kind of the actions they take. So I'll also boil it down simply to my thoughts that it's LSU A&M, and Houston's got a lot of talent right now. Billy, you cover Texas a good amount. You know that how much A&M is putting an emphasis onto Houston right now, and a lot of his buddies are either going to A&M, have gone to A&M, or are in the mix with A&M. So I'm watching the Aggies here definitely because, like, I know he's got buddies in LSU's class. I just think, and I don't know if he's committing, and I won't presume that he's committing somewhere just because that's where his buddies go, but we see that work in LSU's favor all the time with Louisiana kids. That's what A&M is trying to do right now in terms of keeping the local guys at home.
Yeah, it seems like this cycle, the A&M and Bama battles with LSU, along with Texas too, are really coming to the forefront more than ever. That seems to be the trio of schools where, as we look at most of the prospects that are kind of being recruited by LSU, those are the big schools that I'm at least seeing for the most part. So a lot of regional action, a lot of interconference, you know, in A&M and Bama's case against LSU, recruiting battles, and it makes sense. Harold Perkins is really, really good. He was excellent in the drills that he did before he dislocated his finger by tipping a ball away. So it was good for him to get out there and camp with Blake Baker, get a feel for how he coaches. Raylan Wilson, a 2023 top 247 linebacker, was also on campus, came over from Tallahassee to camp, was really jacked up about the offer when he got it from LSU, and seemed to have a really good time as well. He was tremendous, I thought, in drills, working out at linebacker. And then Jaden Osberry, the linebacker in the 2023 class, was awesome on Friday. If you wanted to talk about maybe like a top performer type list that we would put together from the camp, I mean, he was right on it, you know, because he was just everywhere, I felt like, and really showed why he's a five-star on the 24/7 Sports Composite and a top 100 prospect for us. Austin Osberry was also very, very good. Safety out of Baton Rouge U High. Both of those guys are the sons of Virg Osberry, LSU's deputy AD, and both had really strong camps. And I was, you know, just very impressed with Austin Osberry and what he was able to do as the more, I would say, underrated brother of the two.
Yeah, I mean, Jaden for next year carries that five-star label already as the top 20, 30 player in the country on the 24/7 composite, 24/7's rankings, have him right in that same range overall. But boy, Austin, I thought, showed a ton. And he lined up at corner, he lined up at safety. I talked to him before we did this podcast, and he said that LSU, for instance, he's known Corey Raymond forever, but this was big for him to get a chance to come to campus, work out, and get to know Durante Jones, the defensive coordinator, more, because Durante Jones is also the safeties coach. They don't have any safeties committed, and they want Austin to play safety. And Austin said that he thinks with where his body's growing and his just overall athleticism and game, he fits a little bit better at the safety spot. So I know we've got him ranked as a corner, but when you're in this safety discussion for the current class moving forward, and we've talked about some guys already on the podcast that fit into that mold, add Austin Osberry to it. He says that's where LSU's really pressing him, and the same for schools like Alabama and Notre Dame and other places he's visited this summer.
Yep, and another name to know in the cornerback, you know, safety kind of mold is Jordan Allen, who worked out. LSU still evaluating him. No offer yet to Jordan Allen out of Lafayette Christian Academy. And then Khalif Edwards, one of the state's top linebackers in 2022, worked out for the staff as well, moved around fairly well, had his moments of you know, strong play and coverage. I felt like he worked out with Blake Baker. Both are kind of, you know, on the board for LSU, but no offer yet. So we'll see if those guys pick up offers. What did you think about Jordan Allen and Khalif?
Man, I thought that Jordan Allen's a physical kid, and I get, look, he's going to stick at corner. That's where he worked all of camp. They didn't test him at safety. I think he could play some safety. He's just really physical. Now, where does the board sit moving forward at corner? I'm not sure. If they get a guy like Thomas, you've got three commits. Do you Where else are you kind of feeling out your numbers in terms of how many you can put into that corner room? And over time, do you look at him as just a guy, hey, let me get him on board and he could play either? They know with an LCA guy, they've signed Sage Ryan already. They've offered other guys at the school. They've got connections there that they can keep things warm and continue to evaluate their board. But look, at the same time, Allen's got 40 plus offers. He's making a lot of college visits. I think he'd love to have the LSU offer, but it won't surprise me at some point if the waiting game doesn't wait any longer and he pops for an out-of-state program. But not to get ahead of myself there, I don't think that's happening, you know, in the next month or anything like that. I think Jordan Allen's one that we're going to watch more closely too, and unless he gets an offer earlier as a senior at LCA. They'll have a close eye on that team with a couple of prospects that they like in this 2022 class.
And then finally in 2023, Kai Preen is a prospect that worked out for LSU as well. And I just thought he was really, really good. An Ascension Catholic standout. He plays all over for them. He worked out at running back and wideout. I think at some point you got to see him getting an offer. Athletically, he can play for LSU. He's a teammate of Jamon Tapp, a top 2022 target for LSU as well. I just thought he was great, and he really raved about it and seems to be okay going through the process with Kevin Falk and Mickey Joseph to get evaluated for an offer, see what comes from that. They want to see him play a little bit more receiver this fall. But overall, I mean, he was really, really good and, you know, worked out in that afternoon session on Thursday and then came back again for Friday to work out as well. So just a really, really strong 2 days for Kai Preen as well.
Yeah, he's one I'm watching closely. And like you said, he could play receiver, can play running back, was willing to put in two separate days of working at both. So won't surprise me at all to hear that ultimately he might get offered at some point. And there's a guy like a lot like that in this current class down in South Louisiana, in Terrebonne, and Jalen Lucas, who, of course, Mason Smith, a bit biased being from the area, was out there working camp, but he kind of maneuvered over from the big men for a bit to watch the skill guys and was super high on Lucas. And look, we talk about it all the time, track times, and we've browsed through all of the different regionals and certainly the state finals events. And Lucas was on all of those. I mean, he went all the way to state in multiple track events. He's certainly a speedster. He's in that 5'7", 5'8 range and is one of the better just pure athletes in the state. Now, he's got a handful of offers. Does a school like LSU come calling? I'm not certain, but I know that after his workout this weekend where they saw him at running back, saw him at receiver, guys like O and Pete's are able to get an eye on him, Falk and Mickey Joseph. When you have a showing like that and you catch the attention of coaches like that, you slowly work your way up more and more into the line of sight for where this class could go and potential offers. And I think he put himself in a stock up position, a guy like Jalen Lucas did.
Yeah, a lot more coverage of LSU's camp, the final camp of the summer for the program to come on go247.com. But we wanted to run you guys down the entire really weekend between official visits and camp. So we did that, and we did it for you guys in on this Monday edition of the podcast. So be sure to stay tuned later in the week. We'll have another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast coming out. Keep it locked on go247.com for all the latest VIP recruiting scoop that you need. Check us out. For Shea Dixon, I'm Billy Unbody. Thanks for listening to this edition of the podcast. We will catch you guys next time. Have a good one.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.